As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, though my current series is on the subject of the multifaceted love of Jesus, I said I would also mix in other subjects as I believe the Spirit leads. Today, I believe it's time to revisit a topic we explored some years ago, the topic of mind management. I think we can all agree that time management is a very important thing, particularly as we get older and have less time left on this earth to do the things God has put us here to do. But if time management is important, mind management is even more so. Think of what time we've wasted with worry, self-pity, melancholy, bitterness, regrets, unforgiveness, murmuring and complaining, anger, or any other sort of the multitude of negative emotions and thoughts we might be prone to. We wasted time with these negative thoughts and emotions. It's natural that we wish we had that time back. So it isn't really so much a time management problem we need to work on. It's a mind management problem. If we had better mind management, we would be making much better use of time. For everything we do or say flows out of our thinking. Fix the thinking problems and we will also fix the doing and saying problems. Our thoughts have the power to ennoble us or debase us. They can build up our faith or they can stifle it. Our thoughts can fill us with hope or they can fill us with despair, with peace or with dread. They can bring us near to the heart of Jesus or they can drive us far from him. Our heart is fed by our thoughts, whether they be good or evil, whether they be sweet or poisonous. And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it are the wellsprings of life." If our wellsprings are polluted, so will be the rest of us. Or as other translations word that same verse, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows all of life." Or listen to the contemporary English version, "Carefully guard your thoughts, because they are the source of true life." Here's a particularly straightforward rendering of that verse from the Good News translation. "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." So if time management is important, and it is, how much more so is mind management? Because there is so much going on in the world today, or in our families, or in our own personal lives and health, there's so much that can disturb us. And if our mind is not managed well, we will spend far, far too much time on destructive or at least unfruitful thinking. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." Sometimes a cheerful heart is exactly the medicine we need most. And what makes a cheerful heart but cheerful thoughts? So let's dig into this text from Philippians chapter 4. I guarantee it will cheer our hearts. So I'll read the main text, which is in verse 8, but with a bit of context. Paul had just written a very encouraging letter to the church of the Philippians, and now he's giving some final summary exhortations, as is his custom. He says in verse 4 of chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, those verses are loaded with cheer, and we will talk more about them sometime. Right now, I just mention them because they directly precede and are the context of what comes next. Verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. True things, eternally true things, noble things, right things, pure things, lovely things, admirable things, excellent and praiseworthy things. I will get to some examples of such things, but first I want to mention that if we are to think on such things, we are equally not to think on contrary things. We are not to dwell on untrue, ignoble, unrighteous, impure, unlovely, and unadmirable things, because such destructive thoughts can master us, sour us, even ruin us, if we dwell on them. Now, thoughts come and go all the time, and it's no big deal to have a bad thought. No need to beat ourselves up about bad thoughts, unless they stick around and start to do us damage. It's one thing to have a bird fly over our head, but it's quite another to have that bird land in our hair and build a nest. Destructive, unhappy, depressing, unbelieving, negative, hopeless thoughts, if allowed to settle in our minds, do us much damage, both mentally and physically, and can be very difficult to get out of. We've all known people whose destructive thoughts have turned them sour, and they carry that sourness with them everywhere they go. And such thoughts can be very contagious. Our disturbing negative thoughts can be highly contagious. Much better that those kind of thoughts stop with us rather than being passed on to someone else like a virus. On the other hand, if we fill our minds with these things Paul is talking about, we won't have room for all the negative thoughts, the angry thoughts, the impure thoughts. There will simply be no room. There will be no time for them, regardless of our temporary circumstances. And Paul knows what he's talking about. He was writing this letter from a dungeon, a miserable, wretched place where he was in chains for preaching about Jesus. He was just being faithful to obey God's call in his life to bring the hope of eternal life through Jesus to people, and he ends up in chains. How unfair! How unjust! How unkind that was! So he probably had more than his share of dark thoughts. But Paul knew there was a greater reality than his chains, a more substantial reality than his chains, and that was Paul's Savior. And Paul's relationship with that Savior and the glories that awaited him in due time. And Paul had learned how to enjoy that reality, that future reality, in spite of his present chains. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Colossians from that dungeon in Colossians 3:2. He says, "Set your hearts on things above." Things above, heavenly things. True, we are on earth, but just as true, we're bound for heaven. That's where we belong. That's our destination. That's our home. Travelers on a journey from a faraway place have a long and difficult journey home, but they can find solace in deep thoughts about their destination, that desired haven, that comfortable place they long for, where the home fires are always burning and the heart will one day be at rest. The very thought of home can keep the traveler moving forward step by step. Otherwise, the traveler might just perish on the way, or at least give up the journey. Our home is in the heart of God and the home of Jesus. The happiest Christians are the ones who have their feet on earth, but their thoughts in heaven. Next, Paul gets more specific about these heavenly thoughts. He says, "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Where Christ is, where Jesus is. The Jesus who makes heaven heavenly. Then he says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." We died in the sense that we no longer belong to this present earthly life. our citizenship is in heaven, with Christ in God. Both in Colossians and Philippians, Paul speaks of heavenly thoughts. But where do we find such heavenly thoughts, such life-giving thoughts? We're not going to find them in the news. We can't depend on social media for heavenly thoughts. In fact, studies show social media is harming people's mental health. However, the scriptures are a wonderland of life-giving thoughts. As David said in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." There is no greater depository of life-giving thoughts than the scriptures themselves, words of life. There are thoughts we can live on and never get tired of thinking on. Here's a high thought. John 14:2, "My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." And he says, "I will come back and take you to be with me." It's one thing to know there is a heavenly Father, and it's another thing to know that he has many rooms in his heavenly home. But to know he has especially made a room waiting for you and me, well, that's a thought to feast on. That's a thought that cheers our heart and is medicine for the soul. That thought means that the world can take everything from us, and it's okay, because there's a room in my Father's home that can never be taken from me, and a place at my Father's table that has my name on it. Oh, fill your mind with such thoughts as these. And you just know when Paul says, "Think on things true and noble and lovely and admirable, excellent and praiseworthy," you just know that he knows you can't help but think about Jesus, who was the love of Paul's life and is the love of our life. Whatever is true. Never was there a truer friend than we have in Jesus. Never was there truer love than the love of the one who would give his life that we might live. Whatever is noble. Was there ever one more noble or honorable than the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords? Whatever is right, Jesus is the very rightness of right. Whatever is pure, the pure love of Jesus. Our love may be true, but it is always mixed with other things. But his love is pure, a pure, selfless love that always acts in the best interests of his beloved ones. Pure love, and we are the objects, the recipients of that pure love. Whatever is lovely, as it says in the Song of Songs, he is altogether lovely. Things admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think on Jesus. Every day think on Jesus. No time spent contemplating the beauty of our Savior is ever wasted. As Spurgeon says, "It's better to catch a glimpse of Jesus than to behold all the glory of this earth all the days of our lives." A glimpse of Jesus. It is difficult. No, impossible. It's impossible to take in the full view of the loveliness of the one who is infinitely lovely. So we get a glimpse of the loveliness of Jesus in one passage of Scripture, and another glimpse of him in another. Study Jesus. And never get done studying Jesus. And you know what? As we behold Jesus more and more, little by little, we are being changed into that very image of Jesus from glory to glory. To sum this message up, will this be a bright year or a dark year? I promise that it will be a bright year for those of us who practice this. It will be a bright year for those who think bright thoughts, despite what darkness might be all around us. You read the epistles of Paul, and it's clear that he never expected the world and its culture to be anything but dark, but he expected the church to shine as a light in that dark world. We can shine as lights amidst the darkness because our thoughts are of things of eternal light, and they far outweigh the world's temporary darkness. Christians have every reason to be the happiest people in the world, even when surrounded by pains and sorrows. For we have Jesus. And if we have Jesus, we have all things bright and beautiful.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. I'm headed for that glory land somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother up in the glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. I'm headed for that glory land somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.